Mike.
Hello, you're listening to a Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is our Fairy Cast episode, where we were covering the Eclipse Celestial Spirits arc and the Sun Village arc, because we're dumb and forgot to record our Fairy Cast for the Eclipse Celestial Spirits arc, apparently. I can't find it, so I'm assuming we didn't record it. We watched that arc, like, way back in, like, February of this year, and
we don't remember any of it. Just putting it out there.
I had to do a lot of kind of scanning through videos to remember half of what happened. So hopefully we can get some kind of fun and discussion out of this, even though I don't remember most of it. But yeah, it's, of course, the Eclipse Celestial Spirits arc covered episodes 200 to 226. And, or if you're watching it in on Crunchyroll, it's episode 25 to 51. And the Sun Village arc is episodes 227 to 233. So if you have not watched up to episode 233 or Fairy Tail season 258, then you need to run away, because this is full on spoilers. We just talk about what happened in the series as we watch through it. Like I said, unfortunately, we watched this arc. Well, I think 80% of this we watched, you know, several months ago. So hopefully my notes do good. That's really the case. It's like, hopefully Andrew's notes are awesome and we can pull something out of this. So yeah, to start things off, I think we pretty much had a small little closure of what kind of happened with the last season. Of course, the big one that happened was Ultir kind of doing her little sacrifice to save everybody. Got little glimpses of Ultir as a really old lady.
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed on it pretty quickly. I think I noticed it really quickly. Oh, that's got to be Ultir. And she's just really old now because she turned back time, and the cost was her time, of course. So
it was a nice little, I don't want to say a chapter end to her. It just was kind of a send off for her, and I thought they did really well with that, with Gray.
It was nice that he noticed that he died. He's like, he noted the fact that he can sense that he died.
Right.
And then he noticed her kind of standing there as an old lady and kind of knew who she was. She's like, no. She's like, don't do it. He's like, okay, I'll stay in the cart and not jump out there to say hi to you. Which I think is fitting for her. I don't think she wanted him to see her the way that she was. Too caught up in her youth, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cute little thing, though. Even though I laughed at the fact that she's like, no. And he's like, okay. You sacrifice yourself for me, but I'm going to stay in the cart because you shake your head no. But yeah, I kind of agree. We kind of joked a lot in our discussion about what kind of happened with that whole situation, that it was kind of like a little bit cheesy in certain regards, but was a cool sacrifice in the end. I mean, you don't usually, honestly, Fairy Tail doesn't really have many moments of true sacrifice. Everything really just doesn't seem, nobody really dies. And that one kind of felt like a death in a sense.
In a way. Yeah.
Yeah. It was her done. That was her send off. I mean, I don't think they really necessarily said that she dies.
No, they just
to show that she was really old. I don't know if they showed a grave or something later. I couldn't remember.
I don't remember that. Well, again, okay. There is a death in this show.
Yeah.
Lucy's dad.
That is true. Last season we did have Lucy's death. It wasn't our Lucy, but yeah, we technically had the entire cast die last season. Because they were all dead with her. She was the last one. In that timeline.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
in that timeline.
In the second timeline.
Yeah, that. So, there's that. Even though it doesn't count. It doesn't count. It really doesn't. After that, we kind of just jumped into a goofy little...
Oh, I was saying Lucy's dad, not Lucy.
Oh, Lucy's
not
dad.
Not future Lucy.
I thought you said Lucy died.
Which, yes, technically Lucy herself did die as well.
Yeah, I was talking about the whole cast with the whole other timeline. The future timeline that doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, they kind of went out to do a little hunt, fought some big Bulbasaur-looking monster thingamajiggy. That was kind of a comical little thing. Virgo actually was useful in that whole situation. And had a brief moment with Mavis running into Xerath, talking a little bit about how they met 7 years ago, something like that. Some world harmony discussion and regeneration one-sided annihilation stuff, typical Xerath, I'm going to kill everybody kind of thing. and then jump into the next episode. We had another kind of filler episode, which opened up pretty wrong. Like, I want to say this was probably the most wrong joke that the show has made so far, because, you know, think back to when Yukino was kind of getting kicked out of the Sabretooth Guild, and they had the whole thing where she had to strip in front of everybody and get rid of her marking for the Sabretooth. It's kind of wrong. And so they did that again. Like, that whole scene again, and it with Sting's there, and he's like, strip. And then she's like taking off her clothes, and then it just happens that everybody takes off their clothes because they were going to the pool.
Yep.
So that was kind of a wrong joke. But that episode was fun, too, because they had the Frosh being lost in town and everybody kind of watching him to see if he can make it back home.
Yeah.
That was
I love that.
That was a fun one. And Kagura and the Neko girl kind of fighting over Frosh was funny as well. Then we had a Billards episode, which somebody got a pool table, and so everybody was playing pool.
And of course, Erza is the best ever.
Yeah. Well, no, Gray was a little pool shark. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, but Erza had the special outfit just for
pool. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that kind of triggered a little bit of a backstory with Biska and Alzac. And, well, no, it was necessarily Biska and how she met Erza and how Biska joined the guild.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really fun.
I actually liked that episode.
Yeah, you got to see Erza pretty ticked off. Like, she was really mad that she was, because basically Biska was using the fairy tale name and giving the fairy tale a bad name. So she beat the living fire out of her and eventually said, "Hey, you want a place to stay? Come to fairy tale and we'll take care of you," kind of thing. So it was cute. I liked it. And plus, you got to see Erza in a bunny suit, Erza in a maid outfit, and then Erza in nothing but an apron. So that's always good. That's a plus from Andrew. Can't beat that. And then another kind of, I guess it was more of a lead-in, but we had an episode where Lucy was trying to show her appreciation to all the celestial spirits for kind of helping them with the closing of the celestial gate thing. And so she asked each one of the celestial spirits what they wanted. So we had Ares. She just wanted a suntan, so Natsu obliged that, so that was fun. Taurus, of course, we don't really want to know what Taurus wants, but he ended up just eyeballing Yukino, so that was, I guess, enough for him. Noise body! Virgo, of course. What did Virgo want? What would Virgo want?
Virgo is
punishment.
Let me see a picture.
She wants punishment.
Oh, punishment.
Obviously, right. She won't want punishment. It's been a long time, Chris. And so Lucy, of course, she doesn't want to. I think Happy walks up with the whip, but Lucy just does a forehead flick, and that's
stupid
course,
because Virgo is my favorite Dagum celestial spirit.
And then Cancer just wanted to make Happy a fro, which that was weird, but that, I mean, if he's happy with that, that's great. I think
maybe
Capricorn just wanted a poem.
Read his poem.
Yeah. Sagittarius wanted to shoot an apple, which, of course, is also on Happy's head. So there you go. Gemini just wanted to look like Lucy in a towel, I think. That's what I have in my notes, which that's perfectly fine with me. Libra, I don't know. I have written down gravity. What was Libra's?
Libra wants balance, so
Yeah, I guess
that would probably make sense if she wanted to gravity something.
Piscus wanted to eat Happy, so he gets to eat Happy. Loki just kind of showed up and flirted with Yukino. Again, another one going after Yukino. And then finally, I think the cutest part of that entire episode was Aquarius. She came out and she was angry. Probably, I think, because she broke up with Scorpio again or something. She wanted Lucy to make her laugh. And so Lucy, like, I think they dressed up as, like, a prince and a princess. And Yukino was, like, the sleeping beauty. And she was trying to wake her up. And she sticks, like, a tissue in her nose and sleeps next to her. And it was kind of goofy. But no, the funny part about that whole thing was it kind of suddenly Aquarius had like this little flashback of Lucy when she was a little kid, and she wouldn't go out and play with anybody else. She would just hang out with Aquarius all the time. Yeah. And even though she didn't want to, she of course is tsundere, so she would like, and it was kind of like one of those cute little moments where you kind of see that Aquarius really does care for Lucy.
Yeah, I think that was one of the best moments between the two. It just really, really showed a side of Aquarius that you don't really get to see.
Which sucks, because it's like with this one and with this, with these particular set of episodes and with this whole next arc that we're going to go into, they're technically filler. And so there are probably the episodes you would see in a list of what episodes can I skip of Fairy Tail. But it's like, that was like the, probably the best, one of the best moments in the entire series. Yeah. And it's in a filler episode that most people probably just skip. I don't know. If I made a list, I'd probably say this episode was probably one to watch. It was a lot of fun. Just to, you know, goofy shenanigans, having each one of the celestial spirits say what they want. Yeah, some of them are kind of like, yeah, he just wants to shoot an apple. That's big whoop. But little cute moments like that are fun. So, plus Virgo getting flicked in the forehead and going crazy is fun. She always wants punishment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, jumping into the next arc, which this is technically where the celestial eclipse arc would begin. Kind of opens up with, I don't remember exactly how it happened, but Lucy kind of realized that she can't summon any of her spirits. They're not answering to her keys and her magic. And eventually they find out, I think it was through Hisui. According to Hisui, is that all the celestial spirits have been what they call eclipsed. It has something to do with the whole opening of the gate that they did in the entire previous arc. Apparently that whole thing triggered something in all of the celestial spirits, and they all kind of have like a almost like a hidden side of them that's like come out, and it's become like their new personality. Everybody's kind of have a personality flip, and they're all trying to they're seeking out this particular orb, and that orb they're going to use to do this kind of freeing of themselves so that they can be free from, you know, the celestial wizards. And the unfortunate side of it was that they're kind of pointing out that if they do that, they will only live for 12 days, I think, because they require the power of the celestial wizard or something like that in order to survive. So they'll end up dying. So, of course, the entire band trying to help Lucy all go to the celestial realm in order to save them. So, and for some reason, Hisui has like this whole like suitcase full of new keys that will like close their gates so that they can be sealed away. But that was kind of weird that she's like, hey, check this out. I got this big old suitcase full of keys. So yeah, they go to the celestial realm and start fighting each one of them. And it kind of pairs up most of the fairy tale members to different of celestial spirits. So we guess we can kind of go through each one of them to kind of, figure out if I can remember exactly what was involved in the fight. I mean, some of them are like, yeah, I remember that fight. Like the of course Natsu fights Loki. Loki's being like the most predominant character of all of them. Of course they're going to fight, and Loki's like, or Leo's like super buff. So that fight was good between, it was Leo, not Loki. Loki was the form of Leo. Anyways,
Loki is his human version's.
Yeah.
Name. He is actually Leo.
Right. Right. I, for some reason, wasn't getting that out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Capricorn versus Levy was probably the funniest one out of all of them, because it was like a game show. And they're having to answer a bunch of questions. Of course, Capricorn's like just like answering all the questions. And it's one of those ones where it's a game show where they're sitting in a chair, and every time they answer or they don't get the question, the chair raises up and it tilts more forward. And like in front of them was like a, like spikes or something like that, so you don't want to fall in there.
The best question was probably the grand finale question, yeah. which is effectively Levy and Gajil a thing, and of course it cuts away at the answer.
Yeah, and it comes back and she's like, yeah, nobody needs to know what the answer was, kind of thing. It's like, oh yeah, we know what that was, because she just literally turned bright red the moment that question came up. We all know what the answer to that is. Yeah, Urza had a fight with, Sagittarius. It was kind of like a, it was kind of a cool fight. It was just kind of like a, you know, old school
who's
horseback
the most
fighting kind of thing.
Kind of an honorable warrior type thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like an old medieval time style tournament kind of thing between the two of them, which was pretty cool. Let's see. Yeah. Cancer versus Gray. That happened. It was a dance off. It was so...
The entire time Juvia's like, I feel like I've missed something
important. Yeah, I've missed something very treasurable. Oh, yeah, that was weird. It was really well done, though. I have to admit, that was really well done. I didn't think... I figured that would be really cheesy and I wouldn't like it, but it was actually really fun. Yeah, Lucy and Wendy kind of... Was it just Wendy? Wendy at first. Wendy had to fight Aquarius, and Aquarius is a lolly.
Lolly Aquarius, the best.
And she just wants to play, and her mood of play is by destroying everything around her and torturing people. So that was kind of a goofy little thing. I think it was... Who was against the Gemini? Gemini split into two little lolly characters, a lolly and a Shota. And they were kind of turning things into animals or something like that.
I can't remember who they were against.
I want to say it was Gajil.
Gajil and Lily, that would make sense.
I thought it was Gajil fighting them. What other ones were there that were notable anyways? There was a lot of them. Oh, Kana and Scorpio was weird. They like turned into a Yu-Gi-Oh card battle thing.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
That was kind of fun because they like kept bringing out the characters. And of course, it's one of those ones where it's like, there's really no rules here, are there? And they're just kind of bringing out characters, and the characters are fighting each other based on the cards. And it was kind of a cool one. I usually don't really care much for the card battle stuff, but that was actually pretty fun. So I'll give them that one, definitely. Let's see. Libra and Yukino was kind of a... I mean, yeah, it was kind of cool seeing Yukino, like, do karate crap against Libra, but it was kind of a meh fight as well.
Lucy and Virgo and Virgo. The Oshiokyo was the other way.
Yeah, that was... yeah, they got pretty skimpy on the outfits and stuff. They were fighting like crazy. But that was kind of fun. And I guess that was
she
it.
She got obsessed with the mayonnaise at random.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Just walking around, Oshiokyo!
Yeah, I think that was it, though. That was kind of the... Of course, the last fight was kind of... They went up against Ophiuchus. I don't know how to pronounce that. Ophiuchus. And then, of course, Leo. And it was this big, huge, grand, epic fight. And eventually, they had to, like, go fight or go beat up the Celestial Spirit King. And it was, like, some big, huge thing out of Princess Mononoke, which was kind of weird. Big blob thing. And, yeah, they managed to beat that thing, and then it kind of all went back to normal. And none of them, of course, remember anything that happened, because it's a filler arc. You don't need to remember that they did what they did. It was kind of one of those ones where that entire, I guess my overall thoughts of that arc, I found certain fights fun. Like, I liked Aquarius being a lolly. I liked, you know, the card fight. I got a kick out of the dance routine. Course love Virgo. I like the other Virgo better, but this Virgo was kind of a fun little twist on her. And I liked, of course, Levy having to admit off camera that she likes Gajil. But the overall arc is kind of like it kind of made you think, like, is this what they really think? And that was kind of the question they were posing half, like, through most of it. Like, no, this is what they really believe. They really believe they don't want to be the slave to the celestial wizards. And so it's like this little kind of troubling thing of, like, you can't force them to want to be under your control. And then, of course, Lucy's like, no, we're partners. It's not like that. So it's posing this really kind of important question, but then having them completely forget that and not address the fact that, oh, no, it was just something messing with us. We actually really do like being with you, Lucy. Is a little bit troubling.
Well, one of the at the very beginning, which one was it? One of the one of the celestial spirits was had gotten away from, was it Lucy's mom, went and killed it, or got stuck underneath another person, killed that person, and that was what caused that celestial spirit to survive for a long time. Do you remember which one that was? Was it Leo? And that's why he was starting to lose his power, and that's why he had to become Lucy's?
I think so.
I know it was one of the celestial spirits was a rogue spirit for a while.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I just don't remember. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was way towards the beginning. And it's and the funny thing is that all these key, not speaking figuratively, but these keys that kind of are dropped in, has always talked about the idea that these are literally, these spirits are effectively slaves, and they don't get a choice in the matter. And yeah, Lucy is doing her best to make this a great partnership for them, but at some point later on down the road, when she passes away or whatever, they're going to be going back to the system of having to do whatever it is that they are forced to do for whatever master.
It kind of lends itself to the idea that they're not necessarily, they have to, you know, answer the call when they're called. When the gates open, they have to answer the call, but they're not necessarily always there. They're in the celestial realm, they're able to do what they want, and then they get called and they have to come down there and fight or whatever. But of course, they don't technically listen to Lucy half the time, so it's not like they're compelled to do something. I'm not saying it, but I think it was Leo.
Leo is the only one that I can think of off the top of my head that was actually out of a...
But I almost wanted to say it was one that wasn't a part of her group, but I know that there's only so many. It's not like there's other ones. It was like really early on, wasn't it? It was like the first 50 episodes, right?
It's got to have been. I can't think of...
But that is the kind of the give and take of it, is that it's similar to, you know, other things in this kind of realm where they have to technically draw from the power of the celestial wizard to actually survive. So they kind of have to be Maybe linked to her. Virgo. Otherwise they're going to pass away.
When did she get Virgo?
It might've been Virgo. That would explain her weird obsession. Yeah. Her weird obsession with being punished. That would make sense. But like I said, my issue was mainly the fact that they never really kind of explain what they really think. And I guess you kind of have to assume that based on the fact that they're all happy in the end, is they do like being with Lucy. Aquarius obviously does love being with Lucy. She sees her kind of a daughter now. So, yeah, it was kind of a weird thought. It just didn't really feel like it had... It was posing a lot of questions. It was bringing up a lot of kind of questions about the morality of the whole situation, but never really kind of addressing it, which was the sad thing about it, I guess.
Oh, that's going to drive me nuts. Because now I'm thinking of Capricorn, and Capricorn couldn't have been because that was recently.
Yeah, Capricorn was like the last one. Before you can know, anyways. I'm going to run into Pregger pictures of her. Watch out. Mm-hmm. By staying in the human world, Loki prevented Karen from summoning any other celestial battles for combat, ability to perform her jobs.
That's what it was.
It was her. Or him.
Because she was evil and he didn't want her to use any other...
Yeah.
And that's how she had the other ones, which was the ones that... Lucy didn't just get Loki with them. She also got a couple of others.
Yeah. Moving on to the next arc. They had a couple of fillers after that. They went into, had a quick little reference to Ravemaster, whatever it is, the creators of the work, where they had a couple of them in Ravemaster outfits on the stage. And then that went into them having to go see Warod. Is that how you pronounce his name, Warod? He's a big tree, Brussels sprout-looking guy. which was obviously, when we kind of confirmed it later, was the one of the founding members of the Fairy Tale Guild. But they had to go out there to see him in order to answer a request for a mission that was sent to Fairy Tale, which was to investigate the Sun Village being frozen. And so, yeah, that guy was really weird. Everything he said is a joke. He's that kind of a character. Says something and then says it's a joke.
It's joke.
Yeah, different way of saying it's a joke every 2 seconds. So they got to kind of get squished away off to that village. They kind of find it's completely frozen over. Even this eternal flame that apparently kind of overlooks the entire village is frozen. And all the inhabitants are giants that are all frozen. And they have to free them or figure out exactly what is causing it and free them. Yeah, this one quickly turned into kind of three battle fronts. I guess three technically battle fronts. You had Lucy, Wendy, and then what's her face showed up. I'm forgetting her name. Blondie girl.
Flare.
She shows up. All of them are kind of fighting these random rogue dudes that are trying to capture the flame, the eternal flame that they're looking for. And at the same time, Urza runs into Minerva, and there was another guy, I'm forgetting the name off the top of my head on him as well, which I probably have it written down somewhere.
Ophius?
I think it started with a D. I think I'm missing something.
Diomitrate or something like that. It was a stone of some sort. Diorite.
Diorite?
Yeah, it sounded like a stone. There it is. Kid Gray versus Diorite.
Yep, Diorite. Diorite. Yeah, and Diorite was fighting. Well, I think at first there was. I think he ended up running into Gray. I know he ran into Urza at some point, turned Urza into a child, because Diorite had, like, the power of being able to turn people into, like, you know, change their body into an infant, and actually, I think it also affected their mind. I think with Gray, particularly, he started remembering, like, everything that happened in his childhood that was all traumatic. Of course, is, you know, this entire village and everybody being killed by the demons, losing Uru, all that kind of stuff kind of coming back to him. And yeah, Urza was fighting Minerva, and Minerva and I'm already forgetting his name again. Doriate. Both of them were part of the Serpent Guild? The Serpentine Guild? Was it Slith Labyrinth?
Succubus Eye,
yeah, I think that was it. Which is supposed to be like a branch of the Tartarus Guild. At least that's what they believe at the time. And, yeah, so Urza at one point is fighting Minerva, kind of doesn't like the effect that Minerva is going to a dark guild and thinks that she can kind of be saved and that she shouldn't do it. At the same time, Gray is fighting his past as he's fighting Zed. We'll go back to the Zed thing. Zed eventually turns into like a crazy demonic monster thing, which totally throws Gray off because, you know, we're seeing demons now, which is kind of jumping the shark at this point in the entire story, that suddenly I don't know where demons are showing up, but that kind of makes sense later. But eventually takes down Zed. And at the same time, you have Natsu's trying to find some voice. Some voice is calling out to him, so he's running around everywhere trying to find it. And eventually a weird bug creature thing comes out of the sky and starts chasing Happy and everybody else, Lucy and all them. And so Natsu fights the bug bird thing as Gray, in order to defeat Zed, he channeled the power of the weird ice that was freezing everything, which was apparently from some ice demon slayer guy that we talk about later. So he thinks that he can possibly do the same thing to melt the ice. So he goes and tries to do that while Natsu's fighting the big bug bird thingy majiggy. And then he's successful, but the flame's not there. And so Natsu helps rekindle the flame by chucking the big bug bird thingy majiggy into the altar and then flaming the heck out of it. And then it suddenly summons itself as the residual memories of Atlas, the dragon, which was weird. Apparently, the residual memories of Atlas has been protecting this sun village for the longest time, and he uses his last remaining remnants of his memory to melt the entire area and save the entire sun village. And so it was kind of a mixture of discovering. I think the main key things in this arc, besides the fighting and everything, was the weird ice that it apparently was part of this ice slaying demon guy, Silver. The introduction of Minerva being a part of a dark guild that is a part of Tartarus. And then, of course, the one guy that was, like, the most oddly placed character probably was one of the more crucial parts of the story, which was Zed Dorate, who was this kind of person with a very unique ability, but also was changing into a demon. So he's obviously some kind of demon of sorts, which, again, gets into the next arc, which we've already kind of slipped into a little bit, so that's the only reason I know that, so I guess that's technically kind of spoilery, but they technically do mention that in this arc, so it's okay. Yeah, I guess that was really it. I think that technically Atlas also mentioned the fact that Ignil was trying to destroy the Book of the End or whatever.
Yeah,
was trying to destroy End.
Yeah, the.
Which I'm still trying to gather the whole End and the demon book of Zarad or Zeref and the End. I don't know if that ends a person or ends a book or ends a, I don't know.
Ends a demon, and the End is the book that summons the summons End, and then Zeref wrote the book.
Did Zeref read the book or write the book?
Right, he wrote the book. He wrote all the books, which all the books summon a demon each. Each book has its own.
Oh,
demon.
There's multiple books.
Yes, there's multiple. So
there's more than one ends.
No, there's more than one book demon. Of ends.
There's more than one book of the end.
No, there's more than one demon.
Demon book?
No, each book summons a demon. There's just one in particular book that is called the End.
The End.
And that summons
the End.
End.
E-N-D. E-N-D. I think they actually say it that way. E-N-D.
Which I'm going to assume because of how much focus they put on the stupid books, they're going to have to chase down the stupid books. But that's probably spoiler.
That's a good point to bring up. You brought up the fact that you are technically seeing, you're thinking you're seeing new stuff now with this arc. Or was it the beginning of the next arc that you were...
It's the beginning.
I thought you were saying at the end of this arc you were starting to see new stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. The middle of this particular arc is where I had stopped at some point, because yes, I did not see Atlas Flame, I didn't see all of the returning to Warad and all that stuff. So I am technically in new ground now, except for at some point we're going to end up watching Fairy Tail Zero, which I've already watched.
Yeah, that's weird that you did that.
Because it technically wouldn't have spoiled anything for me.
That doesn't make any sense. I know it's got some prequel stuff in there, but it's technically got new stuff too.
No, it doesn't.
It does. I looked at the thumbnail.
When you watch it, if you think of it from this...
I looked at the thumbnails. It shows the characters as they are now, not just the backstory stuff.
Yeah, if you look at it right now, nothing in Fairy Tail Zero will be spoiler compared to what you know now.
Yes, it will, because it's got stuff that's for later.
And I don't know
in the
what,
chronological order.
I don't know what that is, so I've been...
You didn't get that far, then.
You apparently got something spoiled for you that I don't know.
No, I'm just saying I'm seeing thumbnails that show characters as their current age, which means it's not backstory stuff. It's forward story stuff. I understand, yeah, if it's showing stuff with Minerva and stuff, it technically can't spoil stuff happening now, but... Anyways, that's not it. What do you think of this arc? I want to get your thoughts on it first. The Frozen City arc?
The Frozen City. I've always kind of liked, I get a kick out of Flair. So Flair, I've always gotten a kick out of Flair. So I did like having kind of a more complete story for her. But overall, this arc, in particular, the giant town, whatever it is, that particular section was a little bit slow for me. I like the stuff before it, like the stuff after it, like the completion of the story for Flair. But outside of that, getting a little bit of a completion to the story of Atlas Flame was kind of cool. But outside of that, it was kind of a middle of the road arc for me.
It was kind of odd that out of nowhere, suddenly she's like inserted into this village. Like, oh yeah, by the way, she's from here. She knows these people. She's back. Come in, daughter. She's got a lot of dads, a lot of really big dads. Yeah, that was kind of out of nowhere that she's suddenly part of this village and is upset about it. But yeah, I think it didn't feel like much really happened for most of it, because it getting into like the thieves that were there and having to fight those, that band of thieves, and then suddenly out of nowhere they go, oh, we're actually, you've had you this whole time, and suddenly Lucy and all them overpower the thieves, which didn't make any sense. But
Lolly Urza was awesome.
Yeah, the Lolly Urza was fun, but of course we already had a Lolly Urza. She was in the tower, she was Lolly, but technically we had Lolly or Shota Gray.
Which
we got I'm for like sure a brief moment. We had Lolly, Lucy, and and Flair and Super Lolly Wendy. Shota and Happy's Lolly version was like, oh wait, they're supposed to be smaller. I guess. That doesn't make any sense, but okay, that's fine. But yeah, like I said, I think the key things that were in there were significant enough to make it all kind of worth it. The whole ice and the silver guy that we're going to be getting into eventually, and kind of the bringing up the demons, I think is going to be stuff that'll be more interesting later. But the fights did kind of drag out. Seeing Urza get pummeled 50 times for 3 episodes straight was kind of like, okay, we get it. Urza doesn't have as much power now, and Minerva's beating her up. Can we move forward? It's not the most interesting fight in the world, seeing somebody just getting beaten to the ground over and over again. So maybe it just seems like it was longer than it was, but it did seem like it dragged out. And that was kind of the similar situation with Gray and the fight with Lucy and the other guys. But it felt like the fights were kind of a little drug out, and they didn't have too much. And I think the only fight that really had interesting things going with it was Zed. I think him having like this really weird ability to shrink people and change forms and all that kind of stuff was a little bit different than normal, so I'll give that one credit. The weird big bug bird thing was kind of creepy, and that didn't really last that long. He like shows up and he's like intimidating to Shadow and Happy, and it's like, this thing's creepy looking, and the guy's talking about, like, don't, you're going to cause something, which I know it didn't really mean anything to that bug bird thing, Jiggy. But then he shows up and he's all, like, terrifying. And then Natchi just beats the crap out of it. It's like, okay, that thing wasn't as strong as I thought it was going to be.
Well, yeah, especially seeing as how he ate the other guy.
Yeah, he ate the demon dude. But then just gets beat up and thrown into a pit and set on fire. Okay, that works, I guess. We'll go with that. No, it just wasn't that much in it, particularly, except for those little big key points, which were, I guess, fine enough. And I agree. I do like Flair. She's one of my favorite characters recently. So, yeah, I guess that's it for that arc. I do think that I skipped some filler episodes, because there was really one particular very important filler episode that Chris was very adamant about watching. One day.
I wasn't sure if that was in this arc or not. I was shoot.
we were in the arc before that one, and Chris wanted to skip to it. And I'm like, no, we have to watch them by episodes. What if I see a spoiler? There's no spoilers in it. We got to watch it. I'm like, no, we're not going to skip to watch that
one episode. So no, the better way to have this happen is for you to tell everybody what you thought of that episode.
I'm trying to find it first. I'm not sure why it's gone in my notes, because I think there's another episode.
You try and block it out of your head.
Yeah. I can see that.
That is a great episode. and it's just one of those things. It's like, just the pure absurdity of it, and just because of what it is just an epic, just monstrosity of an episode.
Oh, there's where it is. We had an episode where everybody was taking care of Asuka. That was kind of cute. So they went out and they had to find like the most perfect strawberries, which was like in this weird valley area full of big, huge gorilla guys that were obsessed with cute girls. So that happened. So they grabbed the cherries and then they made the perfect cake for Asuka and then proceeded to not let Urza have any of it, which was really mean because Urza, I think, was the one that made it. So that was really cruel to do that to Urza. Let's see. Juvia had an episode where she was trying to figure out what present to get Gray. That was kind of a fun episode. I actually did like that one. Of course, a lot of Juvia stuff is fun. So she's gone around asking everybody what they think, or they think that she should get for somebody that she likes. And it was sucked because
for here's what like was this it really for her 236th her dayversary or something.
Yeah, she had so exact, random. Like, yeah, very very precise. It sucked because it ended so bad. Not bad, bad like bad writing, just bad like that made me feel really bad. Like,
made me hate Gray for a few minutes.
That's exactly what it is. You made you like, wow, this guy's a total jerk. And she doesn't see it. She's like, okay, Gray, well, I'll take it and give it to you later, kind of thing. No, I think she was actually pretty upset by that.
And then he came back and grabbed it, and it was kind of cool.
But yeah.
It was one of those moments.
You come to find out the same day that was the same day that Ul died.
Ul died, yeah, that's right.
Or was it her birthday? I think it was when she died.
I think it was her death day or something, yeah.
Death day. They celebrate death day. No, they don't celebrate the death day. They just remember the death day. I think most people do that, too, for people that they love. So,
so it was a rough day for him, and so it was explained a little bit later, but it was one of those moments.
It was her death,
Yeah.
It was death.
It was one of those moments where you go, man, you really, really don't want me to like him, do you?
Yeah, she like shows up and she has it and she's like, here, this is for you. And he just kind of like just hits it out of her hand and just walks past her. It was like, oh my gosh, dude, all the crap that she's gone through for that. Yeah. But yeah, it does help a little bit knowing why he was so upset. But at the same time, it was like, that was really mean.
He went back and got the scarf off of the ground and cheered her up. But yeah, it was really a jerk thing.
Yeah, the Juvia pillow would probably been better. Then we did, there was an ice cave one, which I don't know what they were doing in the ice cave. They just had to go to like some ice cave. I cannot remember what was, I think it was like some wood or something that was in there. Petrified wood? Or was it the ice they had to get? They had to get something. It might have been ice that they had to get from there.
I think it was the ice because it was some kind of special eternal ice or something like
that. Yeah. And that was kind of a throwaway episode. The transformation episode was weird. Like, it started out kind of funny because it was like, was it Miro that was training them?
Yes.
I think Miro was training, was Natsu. Who else was with Natsu that was trying to learn it? Lucy, wasn't it? I think it might have been Lucy.
Somebody
else.
I don't know.
It was Natsu and somebody else was wanting to learn, like, how to do transformation so they could be more useful. And I think Natsu just jumped in because he thought it was going to be fun. And so they had like this whole thing of learning how to do the actual transformation ability, spell, magic stuff.
Because whoever he was doing it with was doing really well, and Natsu sucked at it.
Yeah, Natsu always sucks at it. And then like it was like the cigarette smoking dude and somebody else was in the bushes and they really wanted to learn how to do it so they could do inappropriate things, of course. And they managed to like morph into some weird creature thing and then they had to. The beat up the creature thing. I think Zerza showed up in a Batwoman outfit or Catwoman outfit. That was weird. They had like a Batman
fairy,
and a Catwoman kind of thing.
Fairy woman?
I don't think they called it fairy woman. It was like, it was literally like, it, I don't think they can call it anything, but yeah, Urza was getting really into it because Urza is Urza. the other filler episode was they found a weird egg creature thing, Kimo. And they basically it was trying to, I think it led them to an island or something like that. And they had to rescue the island and the And the key, it was like some weird ritual that involved the chemo, and the chemo turned into a big tree thing to save everybody from the poison or something like that. It was weird. Laxus went to some random village to help with the lightning problem, and the village mayor was trying to frame them. Yeah, the mayor was trying to frame him into believing that it was them, but it was like some weird plant thing that was underground that was screwing things up. I remember exactly what it was. So Laxus destroyed them.
It did. He did frame him into thinking that it was him that did it when he was in his dark mood or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was actually the mayor who was doing something to cause the problem, to extort something from Laxus.
Yeah. So, he blew up their mansion. Rightly so, blew up their mansion. And that was an okay episode. I actually kind of like it. It was cool kind of seeing Laxus crew going around doing stuff, even though Laxus is probably the only one useful in that group half the time.
It seems like it half the time.
Which I guess is the same case with the Natsu group. It's like, it's just Natsu beating the crap out of the big boss. And that's about it. And then, yeah, there's that last episode, which we can skip that one. And that was it. Yeah, the Night of the Living Men episode.
So what'd you think?
It was fun. But at the same time, like, this goes back to the discussion I had probably in the, what was it, it was a few fairy casts ago where I kind of finally went, you know what, I kind of like Ichiya. I'm kind of fine with him now. Like, I'm not, I used to despise him with a burning passion.
And that's how I was.
But I think it's because he's not around as much as he used to be, so it's fine when he shows up. It's like, oh, there's a men guy. He showed up again. Whereas before it was like, oh my gosh, this guy's getting old. Get him out of the screen.
I could not stand Ichiya at first. I could not. And there, at some point, he just randomly, I just kind of took a liking to him. And I couldn't tell you what it is about him. Maybe it is because he's not there all the time. But
he hasn't been around much. Well, I guess he was at the games.
He's just one of those characters that are like, I get your thing. It's a thing. Why it's your thing, I don't know, but that's your thing.
Was it, that's the next arc. Or is it slipped out a parfum?
Parfum.
This is a great excuse me. Moi Parfum or whatever it was. It was, essentially, for those that you're just listening to this because they don't care about spoilers and they're just listening to this, essentially, Ichiya was working on, like, a new parfum. And it was so potent, it started turning the village members into Ichiya monster zombie things. And the way that it spread was that they would go up to people and they would sniff them. And if they sniffed them, they would turn into an Ichiya. And it's basically themselves, but with like Ichiya face, essentially. So, yeah. It
is creepy to see everybody with Ichiya face. I will give you that.
It's like your favorite characters that you love, like your waifus, all with
kumf, kumf,
kumf, kumf, oui, parfum, men, men. It was very creepy, yeah. It was fun. It was so funny, like, towards the later parts of it, really does kind of get that whole, like, post-apocalyptic zombie mood where they're like hiding in the darkest corners just to get away from like these droves that are walking around, and then like they'd have that moment where they think they're being caught and they'd all turn and they'd like start walking towards the corner, like that kind of zombie apocalypse movie kind
of stuff. It plays out like a zombie apocalypse movie. It's just the zombie is Ichiya, and it's just so it's well done. It's just so just absurd in the way that they pull it off, and it is fun. It's just goofy fun.
It was probably one of the best throwaway episodes. I think the only other one that I really liked as much as this one was probably was somebody that they lost their face episode, and they were all painting different faces on them. This has been a long time.
That was Lucy. She disappeared because of the invisibility
potion. The invisibility potion. That was right. That was a fun one, even though I don't remember it. But anyway, it was
remember forever. The Ichiya Man, Night of the Living Man.
Yeah, they had like, they figured out the secret of getting rid of it, and they like flew off with Happy, and and they leave him behind, and like the swarm comes and swarms the kid, surrounds him and swarms him.
Romeo.
Yeah, Romeo. Yeah, that was a fun one. I'll give you that one. That was a fun one. Probably easily the most memorable of the throwaway filler episodes for sure. That's it. I think that's everything for those two arcs. Again, we apologize for the fact that we hadn't watched 80% of this in 6 months, and so trying to remember half of it, we probably missed a whole bunch of stuff. But thanks to my notes, at least I had something covered for most of it. This is why I do a lot of notes, so I don't have to worry about remembering things. But yeah, that was the Eclipse Celestial Spirits arc and Sun Village arc, which spanned from episode 200 to 233, or the Fairy Tale season 2, 25 to 58. We were moving on into right now the Tartarus arc? Question mark? Is it Tartarus arc?
I'm guessing.
I think it's called the Tartarus arc. And I think that goes on for like 30 episodes? Question mark? Fairy Tale arcs. So if people are actually following along with us, they can know what our next episode is going to be about. Yeah, Tartarus arc. Even though in the subtitles they call it Tartarus. Which is episodes 234 to 265. So 32 episodes. So good stuff there. Yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this run through of the two arcs. And our thoughts on it and our discussion of them. But again, we're at TakuSuper.com. You can go there for all of our anime new and old. Great community, the forum links top, social media links the right side, and all that good stuff. We hope you all enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Oh,
man.
Don't you get it? They are the